During the summer, as I mentioned last Sunday night, we were down in the Mourns, a beautiful part of the world where you can just stand back and open-mouthed be amazed at God's creation. We were right in the middle of the Mourns, just outside Kilkeel, and mountains all around, the highest one, of course, which I somehow managed to climb, Slieve Donard. And, of course, other mountains like Slieve Binion and other ones. Maybe we'll attempt another one next summer if the Lord spares and tarries. But it's a beautiful area, that area in the Mourns, County Down. And of course, we mentioned last Sunday night about Tollymoor Forest Park. I'm sure that some of you have been at Tollymoor. And there are different trails that you can walk along in Tollymoor Forest Park. Four different trails, in fact. And one of the trails is called the Red Trail. The Red Trail. It goes along the River Shimna and it lasts for approximately 3 miles. You walk along the river out a mile and a half and then go round over a bridge, turn and come back to the car park. The Red Trail. Folks, I want us to begin today to follow the Red Trail. And it's not a red trail through Tollymoor Forest Park, but it's a red trail through the Bible. It's a trail of blood. Remember what we said last week as we spoke about Rahab and her scarlet thread? The Bible is a book of blood. Cut it and it will bleed. And if you take the blood out of the Bible, you tear the very heart out of the Bible and there's no message in it and there's no hope for depraved, sinful wretches like us and like all people everywhere, because everybody today on planet Earth, all 7 billion of them are depraved, sinful wretches. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus if we are ever to enter in through the pearly gates and ever to be in heaven. So as we go, as it were, to the highlands of Scripture today, we're going back to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to the Garden of Eden, and as it were, we're going to follow this trail of blood as it has its source there. Or if you like, this stream that flows, this river that flows out of the Garden of Eden, and it is a stream, it's a river of blood. We've read about it today in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. God cares for people. God cares for you today. And God cared for Adam and Eve. They were the first couple, of course, on the earth. They were the first married couple. And God cares for married couples. And God cares about marriage. And God provided this clothing, this covering for this married couple. Folks, I want to say right off today that it was the blood that saved this marriage. I want to tell you today, those of us, and I'm speaking, of course, of myself, that if we want our marriages to survive, we need to plead the blood upon them. Do you ever do that? Do you ever pray for your marriage? Lord, please protect, preserve my marriage. Don't let my marriage become another statistic of all the broken marriages that are out there. It is so important. It is incredibly important that we married couples, that we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus upon our marriage bonds. You don't need me to tell you today that marriage is under attack. Well, some things never change. Because marriage was under attack in Genesis chapter 3. We find here that Satan launched an attack against the first marriage. Satan despises marriage. He hates it with a vengeance. That's why in our nation, the United Kingdom, that once was a Christian nation, That's why he has so many of his agents in positions of authority, and they are doing all they can. They are working overtime to destroy traditional marriage. We need to plead the blood. Plead the blood of Christ upon our own marriages. Plead the blood of Christ upon other people's marriages. You see, marriages and families are the very bedrock of the church. Indeed, it's the very bedrock of society. Where you have a society of broken marriages and broken homes, you have a society that is falling apart at the seams. And as goes the home, so goes the nation. So I hope now you can see the importance of praying for your marriage. There's a lot of temptation out there, folks. And any one of us could fall, and the devil could get in, and our marriage would be wrecked. So I'm just giving you the word of warning today, and I'm just warning myself as well today. Just beware. Plead the blood. Now let's come to Genesis chapter 3, and as it were, zoom in on this chapter. We notice here that there are different things that are made. As you study this chapter and meditate upon it, you will see that there are different things that were made. First of all, you notice there in the very first verse, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." There's Satan, our arch enemy, and the Bible tells us that he was made. Now, what's the point? Why even highlight that fact? Well, it's simply this. So often, we are scared of the devil. And we worry about the devil and what the devil's doing. Folks, I want to tell you today, the devil is just a created being. He was made. The Lord Jesus made him. The Lord Jesus was never made. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. But one of the creatures that he did make was the devil. Now, he wasn't the devil when he was first made. He was Lucifer, the son of the morning. But of course, he was puffed up with pride. And, you know, whenever you're puffed up with pride, you're headed for trouble. We spoke about that a wee while ago, pride. A lot of people today are proud. You know, it's an even worse pride of their sin. I mean, how scandalous is that to be proud of breaking the law of the Creator God who loves you and cares for you? How shameful that is. But a lot of proud people around today. And the devil was proud, and he was thrown out of heaven, of course. Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Come down to the earth. We find him here in Genesis chapter 3. But before the Lord tells us of the dastardly deeds that Satan did, it tells us that he was made. Tells us that he was created. Folks, there's no need to chew our fingernails worrying about what the devil is doing or going to do. There's no need to be racked with nerves about what the devil is doing or what he's going to do, because he's just a creature. And Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin, and you've guessed it, Satan to Jesus must bow. So here we have this first verse of Genesis chapter 3 telling us that the serpent was created, that Satan is created. God is infinite, he's eternal, but not so Satan. I want you to think about the other things that were made according to Genesis chapter 3. There were choices that were made. and very bad, very wrong choices that were made. So think about the choices that were made. We read about them in chapter 3 and verse 6. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. There's the first choice that was made. Made by Eve, the first woman, and it was a horrendous choice. Now let's read about the second choice. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You notice, folks, that Eve eats first, then Adam eats. Both of these people, they make terrible choices. And because of the choices that they made, we today live in a world that is ravaged by sin. We live in a world where there is death and sorrow and sickness, where man is at his fellow man's throat, man's inhumanity to man. But it is not the way that God first created it. Something has gone terribly wrong. And here we have, in Genesis 3, God's word telling us what has gone wrong and why it has gone wrong. Here we have original sin. Choices that were made. Adam made a wrong choice, his wife Eve made a wrong choice as well. But before we reach for the stone to throw it at our first parents, we all have to acknowledge that we too have made wrong choices, haven't we? True believers have no problem admitting they have made wrong choices. That's why they needed Christ to save them. Every one of us today, the reality is we've all made wrong choices. God has told us to do certain things in his word, but we have chosen not to do them. God has told us not to do certain things in his word. We have chosen to do them. We have sinned by omission and commission. And as Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Notice those words. We have turned every one to his own way. The choices that we have made. And so we have Satan here. God's word says that he was made. Then in verse 6 we have choices that were made. And as a result of the choices made by Adam and Eve, we find ourselves in a sin-cursed world. We live on a sin-cursed planet. Now, what did Adam and Eve do? When they realized that something was up, what did they do? Well, that brings me to the clothes that were made. Not only the choices that were made, but the clothes that were made. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, notice what it says. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said, clothes came in with sin. Little reason have we to be proud of our clothes, which are but the badges of our shame. I like that. How true that is. Clothes came in with sin. Maybe you wondered where clothes came from. Clothes came from the Garden of Eden. That's the first time people wore clothes. Clothes came in with sin. Little reason have we to be proud of our clothes. A lot of people are proud of their clothes today. It's all about the fashion, isn't it? Boy, the money that's spent on clothes today, it would scare you. The amount of money that people waste on fashion today, incredible. The clothes industry. And people starving in other countries. Little reason have we to be proud of our clothes, which are but the badge of our shame. Do you want proof of the fall of man? It's the very clothes that he wears proves that he's a fallen creature. But we find here that Adam and Eve, to get back to the point and the important point, Adam and Eve, what did they do when they realized that they were naked? God's word tells us they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here was a pitiful attempt to cover their nakedness. It was shame that drove them to it. They were ashamed. Folks, I want to tell you today that was good. I'm glad that Adam and Eve were ashamed of what they had done, because whenever you break the law of God, you ought to be ashamed. And I ought to be ashamed. You know, the problem in 2018 in our world is that there's very little shame. People aren't ashamed of their sin. People today have no shame. It used to be that if someone was embarrassed, they blushed. Nowadays, they blush if they're embarrassed. People think it's shameful to be embarrassed about anything. It's the idea people have. Oh, no need to be ashamed of anything. That's silly. Being ashamed of doing wrong. Nothing's wrong. Just do what you like. If it feels right, just go ahead and do it. Don't let any ancient book tell you how you should live. Yeah, there's no shame today. That's part of the problem. Well, here we have shame. Right at the beginning of time, after Adam and Eve had sinned, there was shame. But shame became sham. Their shame led them to a sham, because they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The word aprons there, it refers to a loincloth. This is a garment that just covers a small part of their body. So this clothing, these items of clothing that they made from the fig leaves, they didn't cover even half their body. There's still much of the body that was exposed. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 20, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." Adam and Eve couldn't wrap themselves in this pathetic clothing that they had made themselves. Folks, you could write over this scene in Eden, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." Without shedding of blood is no remission. Adam and Eve tried to cover their nakedness by their own efforts, and there was no blood involved. They just went and got some fig leaves and manufactured their garments. This was an unbloody item of clothing that was made. It was bloodless. And this is how they tried to cover their nakedness. Folks, this attempt, this pitiful attempt by the first couple, reminds me of all those who attempt salvation by works. Everybody who attempts to save themselves by their good works, I'm reminded of them when I read Genesis chapter 3. And when I read of Adam and Eve and their fig leaves clothes. You see, nobody is saved by works. Salvation by works is an impossibility. And yet you have those today who go for the wee fig leaf of christening. If I can get my child christened, then that'll cover the sin of the child. Wee fig leaf. Do it yourself, religion. Baptism. If I can just have my child baptized, my baby baptized, then all will be well. Well, I want to tell you folks today that baptism can never save the soul. Whether it's a spoonful or a tankful, it'll never save your soul. Then there's people who, they'll take Holy Communion, they'll have their first communion, another wee fig leaf, another wee brownie point that'll hopefully cover the nakedness of my soul. Surely God will be pleased with me if I take communion. Then there is the fig leaf of confirmation. Confirmation. And there's people who'll go for that fig leaf, and they delude themselves into thinking that somehow they are closer to God and now God accepts them and forgives them. But it's just another fig leaf. They're trying to weave and to make this item of clothing, this covering for their naked soul. But folks, it won't work. It's useless. Then you've got people who reach for the fig leaf of charity. Did you not know that I give to charity? I do a lot of charity work. Good, but it's just a fig leaf. Commendable, but it's just a fig leaf. Did you not know I'm a member of my church? Do you not know how many years I've been a member of my church? Do you not know I'm on the roll of my church? Well, you'd be safer having your name on a sausage roll for all the good it's going to do you. It's just a fig leaf. Now, it's good to go to church. Of course it is. Very commendable. A lot of people today, of course, don't go to church, which is so sad. No wonder our country's in the state it's in. Mind you, there are some churches today, and you'd be safer not going to them for all you would hear. I mean, talk about mealy-mouthed drivel. Then there's people today who will reach for the fig leaf of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. Preacher, I keep the golden rule. Surely that makes me a righteous person. Surely God, whenever I come to the pearly gates, or, you know, this stupid talk about St. Peter and being at the gate of heaven, I want to tell you, Peter's not going to be at the gate of heaven. It's not Peter that lets anybody into heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll make the decision. And if people come up to the Savior at the end of life's journey and they seek admission into heaven, they say to him, well now, Lord, have you not got a record of how I kept the golden rule? It's going to be very sad because the Lord Jesus is just going to say, I'm sorry, that's just a fig leaf. It's no good to you. Who was the minister of your church? What church did you go to? Did your minister not tell you that you needed to be washed in my blood? I mean, are you serious? Did your minister actually say that if you keep the golden rule, you'll be in heaven? So many things that people reach for, so many fig leaves that they use, just like Adam and Eve. Even the people who say, do you not know that I recycle? Care for the environment. A lot of people into that today. It's almost a religion, the environment. Save the planet. I mean, did you ever hear such rubbish? I've got news, folks, today. This planet's going up in smoke someday. The Lord Jesus is just going to put a match to it and it's all going to be burned. If you don't believe me, read 2 Peter chapter 3. And here we are and we're running about with our blue bins and our caddies and all. I mean, it's nearly at the stage where you've lost count of the amount of bins that are in your garage now. Everybody thinks they're going to save the planet. We have to save our planet. I want to tell you folks, this planet is not ours. It's Christ's. belongs to him. Away with this nonsense that this planet belongs to man. No, he has just entrusted it to us to care for it, but it belongs to him. It is his property because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I want to tell you someday he's coming back to reclaim it. Please don't try to earn heaven by your good works. You will fail miserably. Because all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. But do you not know, Pastor, that I never wash my car on a Sunday? And Pastor, I would never cut the grass on a Sunday. And Pastor, I would never hang out the washing on the line on a Sunday. You actually think that's going to get you into heaven? You have no hope. Flee to Christ. Okay, so we've thought about Satan, who was made in Genesis chapter 3. The choices that were made. The clothes that were made. Let me finish. The coats that were made. This wonderful verse, verse 21, tells us about the Lord making coats for these poor sinful wretches. Unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. The word coats there is the Hebrew word ketheneth. It literally means to cover. The Lord wasn't interested in giving Adam and Eve a nice trendy outfit. No, all he was interested in was some covering, some garment that would cover their nakedness. He was more worried about function than fashion. Total opposite of what people are worried about today. I mean, honestly, you see some people wearing the oddest clothes at the oddest times of the year. There's people that are wearing t-shirts and they're wearing wee skimpy outfits in the dead of winter now, and then they'll have three coats on them in the summer. Strange, isn't it? But the Lord here, he's more worried about the function of this garment and this clothing than he is the fashion. And he makes these coats for Adam and Eve. How did he get the coats? Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. Here we have blood in a garden. Here is the trail of blood right at the dawn of time. And over the weeks ahead, we're going to see, as we go through the Old Testament, we're going to see this trail of blood. We're going to follow it. And every time the blood is mentioned, we ought to think about what happened on the old rugged cross. Every mention of the blood in the Old Testament points us forward to the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, shed for our redemption. Blood in the garden. There's some people have weird notions about these coats of skins. I read the other day, somebody believes that this skin that's talked about here was the serpent skin. The old serpent, the snake in the Garden of Eden, had shed its skin, and God took the skin of the snake and covered Adam and Eve. I want to tell you folks, that's a load of bunkum. It wasn't snake skin that covered them. It was animal skin. And an innocent animal had to die. And the blood had to be shed. So here we have blood in a garden. But folks, as we finish today, let me point you to blood in another garden. John chapter 19, verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. The blood of the Lord Jesus fell in that garden. The blood of the everlasting covenant. and it was shed for you and for me, in order that our naked souls could be covered and protected from the wrath of a righteous God. As we think about the coats that were made for Adam and Eve all those years ago, we could write over the scene, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And as we finish, let me point you to the words of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 11. He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. John the Baptist there spoke of two coats. Do you know in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord provided two coats for sinful people. One coat was for Adam, one coat was for Eve. I want to tell you, sinner, friend, backslider, the Lord has a coat for you today. He has his spotless righteousness that he wants to give to you.